we want to talk about the strike as a moment in history, I think we have to understand that what happened in the winter, and I'm saying this because I don't want people to understand what happened in Quebec society as being exceptional or spectacular or unimaginable in other places. Everything that happened there was specific to Quebec and has its own history that I addressed, you know, in terms of understanding its links to Quebec history and Quebec struggles. But at the same time, it's not something that I think we can't imagine happening in other places, right? And I don't want to get into this idea that what happened in Quebec was exceptional and beyond the possibility of organizing elsewhere. It's different, like anywhere is different, right? But I think it's important to understand and ground what happened in Quebec. So the strike was, you know, of course, incredible in 2012, but the preparations for that began much before, right? So the idea of the free tuition and the abolition of university tuition, I talked about that in relation to the 1960s and 70s, but I'll say a few recent points of history of organizing that are important for understanding sort of how the strike happened. So in 2005, when the Liberal government was first elected in Quebec, you had them imposing a cut to the bursaries of students. And that was at about $103 million cut. So that was a direct hit on the accessibility of university education. That's when Jean Charest first came into office, and the finance minister and the cabinet was talking about the Cultural Revolution. So you had $103 million cut on bursaries. Okay, students fought back in 2005, and there was a strike that I joined many of the actions then in 2005, and it was a very dynamic strike, a lot of mass demonstrations, but also that's where we started to see this more creative sort of combative unionism really taking shape in the form of different student associations. You know, for example, the idea that students could participate when the government was not listening to their demands and refusing to negotiate for so long. Students, you know, in 2005, when the government was ignoring them, started doing direct actions, right? So they started taking actions, you know, for example, it was $103 million that the government was cutting from the bursaries program. So some students went to the education minister's office and distributed 103 mice in the office as a way of protesting the cuts. So, you know, that was, you know, made a lot of media splash, and, you know, it was sort of like, you know, a sort of daring action. But at the same time, there was a broader mobilization in 2005 that I think was, you know, very combative and important for laying the groundwork of what happened in 2012. So the $103 million cut, what happened was that there was strikes, general strikes, of the students, and actually mass protests in 2005, and that's when we first saw the Red Square coming forward. And what happened was the government actually had to repeal the $103 million cut to the student bursaries, and that's actually was actually instrumental, in my opinion, of sort of developing this sense of possibility within the Quebec Student Union and within the Quebec student movement, and also within activist circles more generally, because also this was a period of time that was just coming after the protests that we had seen in Quebec City after the Free Trade Area of the Americas Summit, the Summit of the Americas, and the mass mobilizations. A lot of the tactics and the militancy and also the broad nature of that mobilization, you know, where you saw unions and environmental groups and student groups, anti-capitalist groups, anarchist groups, indigenous struggles being articulated in Quebec City in 2001. A lot of this sort of discussion and energy, I feel like a lot of that sort of was translating and relating to the student organizing that we saw forming in 2005 around that struggle when the Quebec Liberal government was first in power, right? Because the idea was essentially at that time, you have this neoliberal order that's being imposed globally, and these neoliberal reforms and austerity measures that's imposed by things like free trade agreements or the World Trade Organization. You know, and there's a fight back that's happening globally in different countries, but also there's local manifestations and articulations of those types of policies, right? And in Quebec, we were living it. So after those struggles that happened more against multilateral trade accords that were, you know, attacking environmental, labor, human rights codes, not only in Canada and Quebec, but globally, we saw sort of that energy and that fight being transferred to a very local struggle. So I think there's an important sort of relationship that happened between the mobilizations in Quebec that a lot of you, I'm sure, saw in the early 2000s and what happened in 2005. So that strike was good. It was important, the one in 2005. Then it's really interesting because in 2007, there was a mobilization, which I was around also, which student federations tried to develop and mobilize for a strike to abolish tuition. So that was actually the basis of the strike. So they wanted to have a strike and fight against tuition, period. So that was an interesting period. Interesting in the sense that the strike votes that were happening in universities and colleges, it didn't get the same mass support that had happened in 2005, because in 2005 there was a specific government cut, right? Like $103 million cut to bursaries. That was in 2005. Whereas in 2007, the ASSE, the union that I mentioned before, that I've worked with on different projects, were developing a strike around abolishing tuition. Right, so there was some beautiful protests actually in the fall of 2007, quite large ones, about re-envisioning universities, but it didn't pick up in the same way. So I'm mentioning 2007 because it didn't work. And I'm mentioning that because if we're understanding and honestly assessing organizing, we can't just look at the Quebec student movement as, you know, this miraculous process that mobilizes hundreds of thousands of people, right? Like, it is fantastic and special and awesome, but it's also a process, and it's a challenge, and it's a struggle, right? So in 2007, it didn't work. And it worked in the sense that I think it started creating the foundations for the 2012 strike. And that's actually when people started talking seriously about having a broader strike, because it was clear that the Liberal government was going to impose a pretty major tuition hike in the upcoming years. The date at that point wasn't set, but it was clear that it was coming. So that's when the discussions really started in earnest around actually having a combative long-term strike to ensure that this university tuition hike didn't happen. So I just wanted to highlight that in terms of like understanding a bit of the background, because we, I think, have to understand that things don't just happen, right? Like, and I totally get that most people here understand that, but I think we can, you know, when we're looking at things and mobilizations and organizing that happens in other places, I think often that history and context is lost. And I think the other interesting thing is to think about the Quebec strike in the context of, structure and organization, but also quite horizontal and democratic structures. I mentioned this before, but I think that that also is really important to understanding why it was successful, because there were actual bodies of people that were delegated and were representing student associations and local unions that were making group decisions to carry the strike forward, right? It wasn't sort of, I guess you could call it like meme-based organizing. I think we're facing that challenge a lot with online culture and social media, where like these memes develop like Occupy. And Occupy is, of course, rooted in a historical fight against capitalism and injustice in our societies. But when we understand the process, it's just sort of very rapid fire, you know, very based on social media. And the question is, like, how do you create long-term sustainability for that type of organizing, right? And so that's just a lot of questions and thoughts I had in relation to my experience in the student strike and in relation to other types of energy of social organizing we're seeing in North America right now, like I'm mentioning Occupy specifically. Okay. The other thing I wanted to talk about was... Well, there's so much to talk about, but when we arrived at 2012, we had this sort of momentum that was going, right? I'm showing just beautiful pictures from the protests. These are all pictures by a person named Tian, who has a great blog. I can share it with you later. He also contributed the pictures to the booklet that I did. And you can sort of get a sense of the popular and incredible nature of what happened in Quebec. So what was happening was that there was these massive protests that took place, in like February and March. But all before that, we sort of saw this effort by student organizations to negotiate with the state power, the Liberal government, and none of those negotiations worked, right? Like, the government was not willing to engage in any meaningful way on the issues that students were putting on the table, right? And that's what motivated large numbers of students to vote the general strike mandates. And that's when we started seeing things picking up in a serious way. So the first big protest was March 22nd, 2012. And, you know, even at that point, when there was about 200, 300,000 people in the streets, and there was over 200,000 students on strike at that time, the government still was refusing to listen. And it actually showed listen in the sense of willingness to talk to any representative of the students. From my point of view, I thought that was sort of positive because it opened up this huge political space for people to create a social movement that was not just about student issues, but also a much broader mobilization. So, and that's what happened, right? Like, after some time, what began happening was that this sort of social space opened, right? So when we think about power and when we think about the structure of you know, the market system and political power, you sort of see like this facade of authority, right? You see this sort of idea that, oh, well, of course we have to embrace the sort of religious free market economics that the conservatives are imposing on us. How could we reimagine society beyond that? Of course, you know, there will never be a full justice for historical fights of indigenous people for freedom, for land. You know, we'll never be able to address the colonial nature of Canada. We'll never have free education. We'll never be able to reimagine a society without capitalism, right? Like, all things we've thought about at different points in our lives and we think about every day in different ways. But what began to happen when this momentum started going, and I think it's really important, you know, and you know that there's that Leonard Cohen song, it's not exactly talking about this, but, you know, he talks about the cracks and light coming in, right? And I think that's sort of what started happening in Quebec society, was that there were cracks in that infrastructure of authoritarian power, right? There were, because of the nature of the mobilization and the fact that it caught people's imagination, that's what began to happen. And that's when you started seeing things like the night protests just, you know, sort of blowing out of the water anybody's expectations of what was going to be happening. And every night, at night after night after night, tens of thousands of people taking the streets. And at that point, it was clear when people were coming down from their houses, it wasn't about tuition. It was about re-envisioning society. The topic is huge. The articles that I wrote in this booklet are mainly an attempt to try to communicate what was happening in Quebec. And that's why I made an effort to do events in different cities and different cities in Canada. And to talk to people and also to know what was happening in different cities. Because I think the thing that we obviously need to think about right now in regards to what happened in Quebec is the crisis that we're facing not only in Quebec but in Canada. And how are we going to address that? I think the solutions are difficult to come by in a very concise way. But I think that we need to think about some specific points of what happened in Quebec as examples or as beginning points of a larger mobilization throughout Canada. So the points that I would come to are democratic horizontal structures that represent different sectors of society. So student sectors, community sectors, artists, how do those, I'm sure some of those structures already exist here or like everywhere, but how can we mobilize those structures in an engaged and combative way? And that's the second point, is that idea of combative unionism. The idea that state power will hold on to everything it's gonna be able to hold on to, or corporate power. And I know we all get this, but I think often we forget of the power that can be asserted on the streets as a way to confront the injustice of decisions being made that obviously don't reflect the interests of the majority of people. So combative unionism, democratic structures, and creativity. And I think that's what's really important about what happened in Quebec, was it was a creative and autonomous movement, right? Like, there was not one organization that was driving the process. There was many. And some of those organizations were essential to the process, like the SA. But then there was others that were also essential, but actually were formed in a beautiful way, that were just formed because of the impossible nature of what was happening. You know, like the groups I mentioned, the Mothers in Anger and in Solidarity, or, you know, there was this group too, the Echo de la Montagne Rouge, the School of the Red Mountain, which they contributed our work to my booklet that I put together. So I think there's the combative unionism, democratic horizontal structures, creativity and the use of art. I think that those were like essential points to what happened in Quebec society. And the last point I would say is owning the streets, you know, and it sort of relates to the idea of combative unionism, but I think the idea that we shouldn't sell ourselves short in regards to like the possibilities for action. And obviously in Winnipeg, you saw like this last year, the power of the Idle No More movement and, you know, the mobilizations that were happening there. And I heard that protests here were incredible. But I think what was so incredible about Idle No More was, again, similarly to the strike, although the context and the issues are related but different, but they're definitely related. We can talk about that in the question period if you want, because I don't want to talk forever. But the idea that the actions are based not in like traditional institutions or political parties, but it's based more on street level mobilization. So those are a few thoughts. I would say that right now our challenge is basically, how can we organize and confront the conservative government in an effective way? And those are like four reflections I had from what we experienced: creativity, owning the streets, combative unionism, and decentralized democratic structures. Those are like four things that I've thought about a lot, like coming out of the strike and like being in meetings and then organizing some actions, being on the streets, you know. Those are just four like themes that keep coming back in my mind when I'm thinking about it. And like, I address some of those in the booklet. And you know, I'd love to talk with you about what that all means. And if you have any questions, I guess we can go from there. Thank you.